that's the theme of the Vision Day. Glenn Cormack, who's coming, is using that for his theme. And we find this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 to 14. And that's page 970 in the Seat Bibles. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
As we've already indicated, we're beginning a series on the Lord's Prayer. Over the next few weeks and Sunday evening, we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer line by line. Some of you may not remember, I guess most of you perhaps weren't aware or weren't here at the time, but when we first arrived in Whitley Bay and I preached on an evening service, I actually preached on the Lord's Prayer, which is probably you've forgotten all about it. Fairly recently in our house group, we had two evenings on the Lord's Prayer. So I was quite pleased when Paul decided that we would look at the Lord's Prayer, and I'm quite interested to see that during the Vision Day, it's going to be the basis of our thoughts together in that way. We're going to look at it line by line, as it were, so we're only going to be looking at the introduction tonight at the very beginning. And we need always to be aware that people have some very strange ideas about prayer. People are open to prayer. I find that when I go into the station and discuss various things with the police that I meet there week by week, that they're quite open to the idea that I'll be able to pray for them, and there are people praying for them. I've never yet had anyone refuse. I've never had any hostility towards that. But sometimes they have rather strange ideas. This was a recent headline in a newspaper related to Brexit and the fact that there was a possibility that produce were going to increase. So we get headlines like that around. I want us tonight to think, as we begin this series on prayer, to remember what Jesus taught us. That's the significant thing. Rob Parsons, who is well known in Christian circles, said that if you want to make God smile, tell him your plans. And this is often how we approach prayer. And Jesus, in this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, which Lynn read part of it tonight, reminds us how not to pray, as well as showing us how to pray. There is another account of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. Same words are used, except we find in Luke 11 that the Lord's Prayer is introduced because the disciples turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to show them how to pray. Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. In Matthew's account, which was read to us, it simply says, Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus is saying to us, this is how you should pray. Interesting, just the verse prior to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, your Father knows all about everything before you ask. So we might say straight away, well, if God knows all about us, why do we need to pray? Seems a fairly obvious line of thought. If God knows already, why pray? We also find that if we look in the letter to James in chapter 4, James tells us that we can ask wrongly when we pray. Praying wrongly is when we are praying not according to God's will. God answers prayer when we are praying into his will. And this passage in Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is underlying the fact that there are ways in which you should not pray, and this is the way you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want to suggest there are three key words in those sentences, and to just to spend a few moments just considering in a kind of wider, deeper way the significance of those words. And the first one is the one that's up on the screen. Father. We can call God our Father because of the blood of Jesus. We've just celebrated Easter, and we just have been reminded of the significance of that. We are adopted into his family because of the fact that Jesus died on that cross, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know that we're right with the Father and are adopted into his family and therefore can call him Father. Hebrews 2 and John 3:16, that well-known verse, remind us that although Christ died for everyone, every single person, indiscriminately, not all would claim him as Lord and Savior. And just as in the early church, they stopped anyone coming around the Lord's table who hadn't committed their lives to the Lord Jesus, they also stopped people using the Lord's Prayer in the same way, because they believed this was, in their terms, a believer's prayer. And I know that over the years when I've gone into certain churches, they will not use the Lord's Prayer in worship, believing that there are those who could be present who are not believers, and the prayer used is a believer's prayer, not used in public worship. It's interesting also to note that the only time that Jesus didn't use the word Father towards the Father, but spoke of him simply as God, was on the moment when he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was the moment when the Son of God, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And as Isaiah reminds us, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we believe and receive Jesus as Savior, we are adopted into his family, and we can call God Father. It's important for us to recognize that we have a Father. Sometimes that's always not acceptable to people who have had difficulty with their own personal father. And there are lots of people in this world today who do have that experience. So it's sometimes very difficult for them to begin to appreciate that we call God Father. But Jesus wanted us to address God in that particular way. Second key word is heaven. We've been celebrating, as some of you know, very recently, an important event. And that important event was celebrated because we had a large number of people come and enjoy our company on a Saturday. It required quite a bit of preparation. I can hasten to add that I didn't do a great deal. Most of it was down to Miriam. But I can remember quite distinctly having spent quite a bit of the Friday beforehand working in the kitchen, that she said, as she often says when these things occur, I need to sit down and have a cup of coffee. When the work was over, she needed to sit down. In the Old Testament, the priests in the temple never sat down. They continually were offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. They were offering sacrifices to cover the sins of the people. It was only when Christ died on the cross that the sins were dealt with once and for all. So their work in the temple was never finished. Note where Jesus is now. He's in heaven, seated in heaven. His work is finished. He has accomplished that which the Father asked him to do. And having accomplished the work, he is now seated in heaven. And it's important for us to remember where Jesus is, with the Father in heaven. And it's also important as we use these words to recognize that as Jesus is in heaven, where we are on earth, praying to our Father in heaven. He's the one who we address. You know, sometimes we often say, I've been put in my place. You know, when we maybe make a remark that's not appropriate or do something that's not appropriate, somebody will tell us that we've done something wrong. And we feel as if we've been literally put in our place. Well, when we offer to God the Lord's Prayer, it's a reminder to us that we've been put in our place. Our place is here on earth, and our Father and the Lord Jesus are in heaven. Something missing sometimes today when we recognize that our God is independent and we are dependent on him. God is in control. He doesn't want us to think that we are in control. And sometimes we think we are in control, when God is the one that's in control. In Acts 17, we read these words: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if anything was needed. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." When we say it, reminds us that God is a God who is independent, and our dependence is upon him. However, it's important to note that God is not restricted to heaven. 1 Kings verse chapter 8, "The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you." God can come along us daily by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes along us day by day. So when we say our Father in heaven, let's remember, first of all, about our Father and the significance of it, and the fact that we have a place, just as he has a place in heaven. And one day we'll rejoice in the fact that we will join him in that place. Third key word, hallow. Sometimes interpreted as sacred. "Hallowed be your name," or "be seen as holy." As we begin this particular phrase in the Lord's Prayer, it begins what might be termed two parts to the Lord's Prayer. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is God's prayer list. The second part of the Lord's Prayer is our prayer list. This first part of the Lord's Prayer is God's prayer list. We pray that his name will be hallowed. That's what he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. It's his prayer list. He wants us to pray that his name is hallowed. And how important is this? In the world in which we live, God's name is taken in vain. We hear blasphemy the whole time. We need to acknowledge God's holy name and to hallow that name. Three men were discussing together how we should pray. The first said, when we pray, we should get on our knees. And I know from my experience, I've known people who, when they prayed, always got on their knees. There was a gentleman in the church in which I was brought up. Always, when he prayed, got on his knees. If we'd had an open time of prayer like we had tonight, and he prayed, he would always step out of his seat and kneel down. Kneel in the aisle. So the first person said we should get on our knees. The second said, well, we should stand and lift our hands up to heaven when we pray. And I guess there are some people who do that, standing, lifting up their hands to heaven. And the third person says, well, I don't know about kneeling or standing. I know that my greatest prayer was when I was upside down in a well. And that's sometimes the factor which urges us to pray. We find ourselves in difficult situations, and that's the time to motivate the prayer. If we talk to those around, they will tell you that they've prayed, but largely because they've found themselves in a rather difficult situation. God wants us to pray for certain things for himself. His name be hallowed. His sacred name be hallowed. The Old Testament teaches us in Exodus 3 these words. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. What God was saying to Moses is, my name is I am. Now, in the Hebrew, it's YHWH, which in English we can't pronounce. It's got no vowels there. So we stick a couple of vowels in it, call it Yahweh. Yahweh, or as we might interpret, Lord, but Lord with capital letters. Sacred name for God. And throughout the Old Testament, what we find is that God is revealing his nature through his name. We know what God is like because we were taught by Jesus, who said, if you want to see what God is like, just look at me. That's the picture we have. But in the Old Testament, they had no full understanding of what God was really like. So God began to reveal his nature through his name. So as we go through the Old Testament, we discover that God is showing his nature through his name. Now, if you want to follow this exercise, you can follow this exercise if you pick up a pew Bible, because I'm going to give some references. And I'll give you, help you tonight by giving you the page numbers of the way in which God revealed his character through his name. We begin at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis. In Genesis 22, which if you want to look at it, is actually on page 22. Nice coincidence. It's on page 22. And Genesis 22 verses 13 and 14 reveals to us, as we look at those words, that God was the one who provided. It's in the context of Abraham being tested by the Lord when he had to take Isaac to be sacrificed. And of course, God told him not to, and he provided a ram as a burnt offering. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. So God was saying, in essence, that I'm the one who provides. I'm the provider, Jehovah Jireh. And if you move further into Exodus and on page 73, you will find at Exodus 15, verse 26 on 73, where the Israelites were in the situation of being in the waters of Mara and Elam, where they needed healing. As a result, we read these words, I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you, Jehovah Rapha. He's the one who heals. And sometimes, you know, when we're going through times of sickness and illness, it's perhaps good for us just to repeat that verse. I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. Moving further through the Old Testament, if you turn to page 75, in chapter 17 and verse 15, you'll read these words. And this was as a result of being in some kind of warfare with the Amalekites. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He's the one who is our banner, our protector. And moving quickly on to a few pages further on, to page 90, you'll find the fourth one, Exodus 31, verse 13. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Jehovah Makadosh. And then as we move into Judges, into the story of Gideon, the Lord is my peace on page 248. Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is our peace. All the time revealing the nature of God through his word. Page 555 is where we read at the beginning of our service from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide. He's my shepherd. And then in Jeremiah, on page 797, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16, the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. He's the one who's our righteousness. And lastly, at the very end of Ezekiel, the very last chapter, the last verse in Ezekiel, on page 883, we read these words in capitals, the Lord is there. He's always there. These are the sum of the covenant names given to us by God in the Old Testament. And when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're encompassing all of those attributes, all of those aspects of God. We're recognizing he's the one who provides. He's the one who heals. He's my banner. He's the one who makes me holy. He's my peace, my shepherd, my righteousness, and he's always there. Yes, God was completely revealed in Jesus. John 14, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And we acknowledge that. But we acknowledge the name, that precious name of God, when we say, "Hallowed be your name." So tonight is our closing hymn. We're going to sing something slightly unusual in this sense, because we're going to sing more verses than we would normally sing. We're going to sing 9 verses. But they're not long verses, because the tune and the first verse you will recognize. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. But we're all going to sing, praise Jehovah Jireh. Praise Jehovah Jireh. He's my source. He's my provider. He's my sufficiency. In him will I trust. Praise Jehovah Jireh, the sacred name of God. Okay, I know I've done this before, so it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Let's sing, praise the name of Jesus.